What are you going to do in the next 5 years in your career? Your plan today should reflect this short-term goal. In this episode of Leaders Huddle Podcast, we discuss the importance of and how to create a five-year plan. This is Leaders Huddle Podcast, episode 42, Creating a Five-Year Plan. Welcome back into Leaders Huddle. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. With me today is Captain Dave Laura, and today we're discussing the major components of a good career plan, and we want to share experiences on how we've helped develop this tool to manage our own careers. Dave, good morning, and you ready for today's topic?
Absolutely. Good morning. This is something that's near and dear to my heart and something that took me a while to develop, but now I use it on a regular basis.
All right. So first, let's start off. Why is having a five-year plan important for officers at any grade?
Well, from my perspective, it really, for me, goes into where I'm going to use it. And I use it, personally with my wife and I to be able to plan out what we're doing as a family, but also I use it as a briefing tool with my Raider, with my senior Raider, when I'm asking mentors for advice. That is one graphic depiction of what I want to do with my career over the next five. Really, I've got up to 20 years laid out in my personal career plan. So I use it as a briefing tool and something I developed at the Captain's Career Course. I'm leaving there, and I realized even before then, as a lieutenant, I could have used it to ask for some courses of action that I was looking into doing when I was a lieutenant. So I should have probably developed it earlier on in my career.
Okay, so when should officers create a plan? Are there specific points in our career where we should take the time to make one?
Personally, I don't think there's any time that's too early to make a career plan and identify what you want to do over the short term. And what we're going to discuss today is specifically the five-year plan and how what you want to do in 5 years, your goal, what you want to accomplish, and positions that you're going to have in those first 5 years can affect what you do out of the Army, if that's, leaving the Army at that point, if that's what's right for you and your family, or staying in the Army. But at a minimum, knowing what you want to do in 5 years and having a plan to get there is critical as an Army officer. And we've talked about before how you underestimate what you can get done in a short amount of time, but you overestimate what you can do in a year. And this is really one way to get at that and identify over long term your time in the Army and your career in the military, what you want to accomplish.
Okay, so for me personally, the first time I made a career plan was when I returned back from Iraq and was selected for a promotion to captain. We had a career course date, and my XO at the time when I was on staff showed me what a career plan looked like and helped me walk through developing it. And at that time, it was all the way through 20 years and having multiple options. But what the key point that he brought up with me was, or two things. One was, if you don't manage your career, the Army will gladly manage it for you. And two, have multiple options open when you're looking at what your specific goals are, and understanding the preconditions for setting those career opportunities. So Dave, can you talk to us about why understanding your branch requirements and educational requirements for your specific MOS or career are important?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really the first step that I see in setting your career plan. It's really understanding what you're constrained by. And the Army identifies that for you in their career plan for you in DAPAM 600-3, which is Officer Career Development. So for other branches in medical service, some other specialty branches, there are other regulations that identify what should be in your career path. But for the majority, that's in 600-3, and that really specifically outlines key developmental positions, broadening assignments, what you should do as a lieutenant, and really an order of priority too of what the Army's looking for. And the key for me is that 600-3 is what the Army goes back to when they're considering how you're doing as an Army officer. So for my branch, no matter what I do, folks in other branches will always go back and look at 600-3 before they consider me for promotion and how did I perform in those jobs. Not so much what I did in another broadening assignment or did in grad school along the way. So that's the first thing, is look for dates when you're supposed to PCS, constraints that you have, and positions that they identify. The other place you can get some of that information too about opportunities that exist is through the Army S1Net. You can go to the Army G1 site and sign up for that. It's through MilSuite. And then also identifying specific timelines. So if you're a new lieutenant or in the Army for just a couple of years, you have some unique opportunities as a first lieutenant to apply to SFAS, Civil Affairs, Psychological Operations, Ranger Regiment, things like that. But they have prescriptive timelines that you have to meet. And if you pass their deadline, then you might not be eligible for several years or until you're at the next grade. So that's something to consider as you're developing this all together. What do you think? What else did you consider when you were putting together your career plan?
Well, I just want to harp on the branch requirements aspect and getting to know those. So as an engineer, technical certifications are really important to my branch. So that looks like getting your project management professional or professional engineer licensed and trying to time out when you're going to take those tests and study for them or study for and take the GRE is a good detail or requirement to put into your career map. I remember at the career course sitting down with our branch assignment manager going over 600-3 and those timelines and understanding those, like you said before, those key developmental positions. They vary by branch. Some branches require company command, others don't. And those are important key aspects to have when you're looking at planning out your time. So on the topic of major components, let's cover those key components that you think should go into a career plan.
Okay, and actually, you know, if we can go back for 1 second to talk about KD, we referred to that term before. So that's key developmental position, and you can become KD complete in your branch after serving in a duty position from the time you're first lieutenant promotable through the time that you're captain. And that is a position that's identified in 600-3, but it's a generalizable position so that any Army officer or anyone in the military can look at how you performed in that KD position and know exactly what was expected of you there. So based off your branch, there will be some specific things. Some branches, that's just company command or detachment command or troop command as a captain. Okay, so back to your question about major components and what you should include in there. Really what I say is start with the major goals. What do you want to do in 5 years or 10 years and work backwards from there? Going back to our previous topic of considering what else is in the environment and what are you constrained by doing, a good example for that 5-year, 10-year goal is if you want to go to grad school at some point on the Army's dime or on your own, when do applications start and how long is a GRE score good for? If you want to go to law school, then consider how long is it going to take you to study for the LSAT, and then how long is that score going to be in your record, and what happens with the GRE if you take it more than twice within a couple years? What's that going to be like financially for you, and what will happen to those scores as you apply to colleges? But ultimately, starting with the major components is what do you want to do in 5 years, and working backwards from there. Other major components that should be included in this career plan are professional military education, so that's BOLIC. Those are training courses. That's the captain's career course, certainly, and ILE later on, which is a benchmark during your 10th year of service to attend intermediate level education as you're getting promoted to major. The other major parts that I have in my career plan are family, positions that I want to serve in, that includes past positions, civilian education, and I think critically, the short-term goals I want to achieve in my current assignment. So going back to the point that we think that we can accomplish all these things over, you know, an entire year or an entire career, but unless you have that in your specific plan and you can use this briefing tool to create your support form and talk to your rater about when you do that counseling once a year, that can certainly include those short-term goals of certifications you want to receive or things you want to do. And if that's be promoted to captain, then you should include that in there too. The other tool that makes it easier and really a one-stop shop that you could email this document to is promotion board timelines. You know, raters and senior raters are probably going to know, or they're going to want to know when your boards are, when your OER is due, so it can make it in for a board so that your PCS can be lined up with that. So you can have a PCS award potentially in your file before you get considered for promotion. So including promotion board timelines and when that would potentially come out is critical to include there too. What I missed, Dave, what did you include in your career timeline?
I don't think I have too much to add. I can't overemphasize the importance for understanding the board timelines, because I didn't really understand that until the last couple of years with the major boards lining up, and really understanding the importance of, hey, decisions you make now may affect your promotion ability to lieutenant colonel because of how long it takes to complete certain broadening assignments, per se. And I think if I could just harp on one key aspect of your career timeline, is your family definitely has a say, and you need to sit down if you're married or have dependents, definitely sit down and include them as a line of effort into creating your career map. So because they come with you whenever you PCS. So I think that's a really important aspect to have. So when we're looking, actually, now that we've got our requirements, let's start talking about laying out our options. And I like the fact that you incorporated a little Stephen Covey in here about putting the big rocks first and beginning with the end in mind. Can you elaborate on that?
Okay, so when you're considering laying out the options, now that we've talked about the environment overall, what you need to accomplish in those first couple of years, that's really what you should start with when developing your career timeline. If you want to stay in the Army for more than 5 years at a time, then starting with your PME first. So for lieutenants and junior captains, that means during your fourth year of service, the Army expects you to attend the captain's career course, except if you're in a few small populations that get exceptions to attend the captain's career course later on, or a different version of that. But generally, that is PME first. So professional military education, the captain's career course should be put in there first. And the other thing the Army specifies overall is that it should be before your key developmental position. So although I served in a KD position as a captain before serving the captain's career course, the baseline expectation is that you do the captain's career course first and then your KD assignment later on, even though there are lots of exceptions to that and people who did successfully. But the captain's career course is really the Army's time to make sure that you're prepared for that KD job or potentially being in command. Moving on to the other big part that you can include in your 5 to 10 year plan of broadening assignments. So if you intend to go teach, spend a couple years in grad school, then that's something that potentially could be 2 to 3 years, or if you're teaching at West Point, potentially 5 years out of your career. And that's really just in your first 11 years of service that you'd spend in grad school and then teaching back at West Point. So if you really want to do that, then again, as you identify your goals, back plan off of 5 years doing that. And of course, the next one is the KD time. The prescription is 18 to 24 months of KD time, and that's with the assumption that you did well in that position. And lots of people do more time than 18 to 24 months. Certainly that depends on your brigade and if they can allow you to leave. But if you didn't get the grade that you wanted in that, or that that would really set you up for success in your next position, then staying in a second KD job is totally fine too. But that's what you should consider when you're laying out these big rocks first and things that you need to have in your career timeline.
The only thing I really want to add to this career timeline discussion is it really doesn't matter the format you use. I mean, I've had three different formats I've seen. I would point you to the Company Grade Leader blog hosted by previous guest Doug Mayer. He has a pretty good template on there that includes, you know, location timelines and time on sitting on staff or when you're waiting for command. Command cues really do matter as far as when you get into command. So it's definitely something to consider. A few other things that you definitely need to lay out in your timeline when you're talking about your options. One is the career course ADSO or any type of ADSO that you add when you PCS. Those are sometimes branch dependent, but the general rule is after I go to the career course and I PCS, I have at least one more year of service. Consider where you want to live at the end of your next tour, whether you have family requirements or specific installations. You should be thinking about the next installation or next post you want to go, and making sure that that is a discussion with your family. And the last thing I'll talk about is the 6 to 12 month officer resignation timeline. So if one of your options is to ETS out of the Army, that can take up anywhere from 6 to 12 months. Obviously haven't done it personally, but know some of my peers that are currently looking at that option. And you still owe that service time, and you're working through your transition to the civilian life after that. In closing, I just want to harp on the fact that there's really no approved solution for a career timeline. Everyone has their own sort of flavor of what should go on there. We just want to reiterate the importance of taking the time to develop one, because like we said at the beginning, if you don't manage your career, then someone else will manage it for you. And having a timeline, showing that to your rater or senior rater, shows that you've taken the time to build something and think about your career. Dave, I want to thank you for your time today. I would check out, we'll post some of these resources and notes, the Junior Officer Forum, and send out some examples of the career template. I just want to close in saying that next interview, we're bringing back Mike on the podcast. He just got back from Afghanistan and wants to take the time to focus in on some deployment logistics readiness, and we haven't had that topic before. Check us out on Twitter at @leaders_huddle, and then our Facebook page. We're growing in our popularity, and if you have the time, take the moment to rate and like us on iTunes. Thank you. This is Leaders Huddle, signing off. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.